Lord, how we thank you and we bless you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you how your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. My God, Lord, how we need your word. Boy, I tell you, Lord, we need it today more than we did last week. So we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. Lord, as we try and make heads and tails of everything that's going on, thank you for your word that's a guide, that's a lamp and a light. Thank you that it's already written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thank you. We're supposed to live by this thing, Lord. So we're not, that we will not faint, that we won't lose hope, that we won't give up, that we won't get caught up into stuff, but we'll stay caught up in your word and focused on you. So thank you for your word. Bless your word, Lord. Bless your service. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, rule, and reign from the worship to the word. Have your way, Lord. We're surrendered to you. God, we thank you for the information, but we're grateful as you give us revelation that leads to our transformation. God, we just don't want information. We want, give us revelation knowledge this morning that leads to transformation of lives and hearts and minds. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think I said Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Key words out of that sentence would have to be Christ. Hearts, Christ in your heart, and then faith, and then rooted and grounded in love. So number one, we have Christ in our heart through faith. But it even started with the grace of God, because by grace are we saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast about it. It's the grace that God has given us, which allows us to have the faith in him. But it talked about that we should be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted being established, and grounded meaning the foundation. So we talked about the foundation. We went to Matthew 7, and it talked about a wise person has built their house on the rock. And a foolish person would build their house on the sand. Then we even went through what Luke said about it. And Luke started off saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? And then he said that a wise person had to dig deep and build their house on a rock. So he's saying, as Christians, we got to dig deep. We can't be shallow Christians. We can't be plastic Christians. We can't be fake Christians, because you got to dig deep because the rain and the storm is coming. We can't be Sunday Christians only, is what he said. As you're building your foundation, you can't build a foundation one day a week. Not with God. And that's why we would call him Lord, Lord, and not do what he says, because we're building a foundation one day a week. It doesn't work. And he said, and he talks about it. He didn't say sand. He said earth. He said you couldn't build your house on the earth. You can try. We talked about building a fence on the earth, but God hasn't called us to live on the fence. Amen. So then as I was putting all this together, and we talked about what love is, and we talked about the different songs, and we went to Corinthians, and we'll get back there. But when it talked about being established, what are we established on? So we have to be rooted and grounded in love. But what is our narrative? What is our message? What are we really grounded in? What are we establishing? So that's what took me to today's message. God said, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to be grounded at in a world of uncertainty. This is where we need to take a stand, where you got so much stuff out there. People saying that Christ is just a good man. And that's not true. Don't let people just tell you that, because if all he was a good man, that's not true. Because he claimed to be God in the flesh. He claimed to forgive sins. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And a good man is not a habitual liar. He said, before Abraham was, I am. So if he was just a good man, that's not true, because a habitual liar can never be considered a good man. Don't let him tell you he was just a good man. And so as we're out there and there's so many religions and different philosophies out there, what separates us is a resurrected Jesus Christ. That's what we're established in. So we're established in that. And then through the love, we share that. So let's take a look. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. So I was trying to just go to one specific scripture, but you know that is so hard. You know, the more I read, the more I said, okay, I just kept going back further and further from my initial scripture. But you know, it's important to put things in context. So here's he said we should be rooted and grounded in love. Here's what we should be established in. Well, let's do this. Did I give you the scripture yet, Natalie? I did. Okay, let's do this. Let me show you first what we should be rooted and grounded in. Let's go to verse 28, 5 and 28. Acts 5 and 28. He's the high priest, and we'll come back to this. But here's what we are establishing. Did not we straightly command you, you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Which actually they said that to themselves in Matthew 27, 25, I believe it is. But here's where we stand at. This is what we're established in. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they break down the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you slew, who you hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So when people are on your job, at the gym, and other places, and they're talking about all this stuff that's going on in the world, where do we start at? We started with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Separates us from everybody else. We stand on the resurrected Jesus Christ. Go down to verse 40. And right in the middle of this, from 33 to 39, we've gone over this before, where the Dr. Gamaliel steps up and says, hey, leave him alone. If there's nothing to it, it's going to fade out. But if it's of God, you can't fight against God. Let's pick it up 39. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. You're wasting your time fighting against God if this thing is of God. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Sort of like what they're trying to persecute the church today and say, stop talking about Jesus. We'll get to that in just a minute. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Isn't that something? We won't even pray over our food at lunch. We won't even share Christ with the neighbor. They got beat and rejoiced, for they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. We'll suffer shame for some foolishness, but we will not suffer shame for Christ's name. We need to be established in Christ and then share that in love. And look what they did. And daily in the temple, I'm sorry, on Sunday at church. See, and daily in the temple and in every house, not just in church, but every day in the temple and in church, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's what we should be established on. established and then grounded on the foundation. That's why you build your foundation on Christ. If you don't know why to build your foundation on Christ, then it's always going to be slippery. But this is why, because he resurrected and rose on that third day. And if they weren't obedient, then we wouldn't be here now talking about Jesus Christ. I have one of my friends who's from Armenia, and he said that Matthew came over to Armenia and preached the gospel, and that's how they got saved. Amen? That's how Armenia is a Christian nation, because Matthew went over there and preached the gospel. And if they don't be obedient, then we don't get the good news of how should they hear unless someone is preaching that and someone's teaching that. If you're not obedient, then someone is not going to hear the gospel, because we're so busy doing other things. But they were teaching and preaching daily. Now, let's go back to 5 and 12. So let's work our way up to that. But that's what we should be grounded in. That's what we should be established in. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on that cross for our sins. And we're not ashamed of that. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. Young folks, you have to share it at school. We have to share it on our jobs. We have to share it at the gym. We have to tell anyone who will listen. So here's the apostles. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Underline, they were on one accord. So leading up to that, that's how they could be beat and then still go out and teach and preach. Why? Because they were on one accord. And the rest, does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. So they just lifted up the apostles. They saw what they were doing. They were in agreement with them. Look at what verse 14. And believers were the more added to the church. Oh, I'm sorry. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. It's a big difference than coming to church and being on the Lord's team. Somebody say amen. Amen. You come to church all day long, but it does not mean you've been added to the Lord's team. Says multitudes, both men and women. See, a church is a Sunday thing. And parents, I know we want our kids to come to church, but more importantly, we want our kids to be joined to the Lord's team. We want people to come to church, but we want it. You should come to church. You should have a church home. But more importantly, you got to make sure you're not just coming to church, but you are on the Lord's team, that you're joined to the Lord. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a 24/7 thing with the Lord, because if I just come to church, I can leave the Lord at church on Sunday and live any way I want to Monday through Saturday. But if I'm joined to the Lord's team, the Lord's with me every day of the week. It's a different lifestyle I lead because I'm joined to the Lord. If I go to church, I can do things that the church might not find out about. But if I'm joined to the Lord, the Lord's always there. It's a different mentality. It's good to have a church. It's great to have a church, but make sure that you're serving the Lord and not the church. Sometimes the church even disappoints you, but you serving the Lord never disappoints. See, the people were added to the Lord. That's our prayer. Lord, add them to you. Send them to church. And if they get added to you, that's it, Lord. It's the prayer. As you're praying for your kids, your grandkids, your family members, pray that they get added to the Lord. And we'll invite them to church, which is good, because that's where you learn more about the Lord. That's how you get strengthened. But the prayer is, Lord, that they would join you and not necessarily join the church. It's a big difference. So look at all the power. They're on one accord. They're lifting up the Lord's name. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow or might cover some of them. It's implying that Peter's shadow was healing folks. Now, that's ridiculous right there. That's some power right there. Amen. And I guess if I were to take a poll and ask, do we have that as disciples of Jesus Christ now? Do we have that same type of power? And some would say yes, and some would say no, that went out with the apostles. But one thing they had, they were on one accord in Solomon's porch. It's a lot of power and unity and solidarity. And they were joined to the Lord. And then these things happen. So some would say yes, we'd probably get 50%, 50% here, 50% yes, 50% no. I don't know. I mean, if we serve the same God that they serve, I guess we should at least have access to it. Jesus said, even greater works than these that you will do. All right, let's keep going. Verse 16, there came also a multitude of out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem. So you had different people. The gospel is going abroad. They're coming out of different cities, bringing sick folks and them which were possessed with unclean spirits, and they healed every one. It's nothing like the power of a unified church. It's nothing like the power of a unified marriage. It's nothing like a power of a unified family being on one page. It's nothing like the power of someone who's single, who's married to the Lord. It's nothing like it. Boy, now you see why we're in the midst of spiritual warfare, where everything's trying to distract you over here and distract you over there. It's a lot of power with what we have. But then look at verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Somebody have a different translation? What that word indignation gets translated into? Ain't that something? God is healing, God is delivering, God is setting free, and then somebody wants to get jealous. Ain't that something? Don't care about people getting saved, don't care about people getting delivered, don't care about people getting healed, don't care about people getting demons getting cast out. They doing, why they get to do that? Who they think they are? In the midst of the move of God, here comes the jealousy. That's nothing that tears a family apart like jealousy. You have parents don't speak to kids. You have kids don't speak to parents. You have brothers and sisters don't speak to each other because somebody got jealous of something. That's foolishness. But it shows how powerful that is. And it's just it's the root. The root is jealousy, but sometimes it shows up in envy and gossip and backbiting and all this other kind of stuff. But it gets to who do they think they are? And it all comes from Satan. That's why we're in spiritual warfare, because God created him an angel and he said, who do you think you are? I'm going to be just like you. I want to be just like the Most High. And God said, well, I created you. You didn't create me. Somebody got kicked out. But that's the root of it. Didn't care nothing. Didn't care nothing about what God was doing. And it's all the kind of isms, whether it's terrorism or racism, it's all just comes back to jealousy. And it's interesting today, I have in my notes, but I was talking about just growing up in L.A. in the 70s. And Brother Young happens to be here, was my friend from the neighborhood. We played baseball. He's a little older with my brother, a couple years older than me. But I used to watch those guys play baseball when I was playing Show Me League baseball. It's when they just show you how to play. All right. You wasn't a real baseball player. You're just learning. It's called Show Me League. But then as we were growing up in the 70s, then the gangs came in. And every time I reflect on it, it comes back to jealousy. We'll see some guy walking in the neighborhood. Man, who's that fool right there? Who he think he is walking in our neighborhood? Man, let's go hit him up. We got to go get him. Yeah, we used to walk like that, yeah. But when I reflect back on it, it's jealousy. Somebody can't walk through your neighborhood. You don't even own the neighborhood. But who they think they are, they coming through the hood. Look what they wearing. Look, what's the root of that? Jealousy. All the gangs, all the stuff. And then when I was working in the prisons and the juvenile halls, I'm telling them, man, you can't be fueled by Satan. I'm fueled by Satan. I do what I want to do. See, you don't even know it. That's the biggest trick that Satan has. To make you think that you actually doing something. And you're not being influenced by him. And that's a cold game. But it's all the gang stuff. It's all rooted in jealousy, all the violence, all the isms, the racism. Some people would come into church and who they think they are, they're sitting in my seat. I don't even see your name on it, but I guess that is your seat. Somebody can't even sit in your seat. And you hear the story about the couple. They were one color and went to a church that was another color. And they weren't welcome. They weren't even invited in. So they went home and they were praying together. And God said, don't worry about it. They won't let me in either. Okay? It's all rooted in jealousy. And then look what happens in verse 18. Because they were jealous and laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Is that something? For too long, we've let people lock us up because of their jealousy. Put you in the prison of their mind, in your own mind, the prison of self-consciousness and self-doubt and self-pity because they're jealous of you and you think something's wrong with you. But it's really coming from them, from within. Don't let people lock you up. Don't let family members lock you up. Making you think it's you. Mom liked you better. That's why you and dad always treated you and this and that. And if it's all fueled by Satan. Let them lock you up. Because of the issue that they've never dealt with. And we get to verse 19. Somebody say, but. Thank God for the buts. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, listen to what he said. So family, here's one of the places I was trying to go. See, all this is they were in one accord. People were added to the Lord. Healing is taking place. They're casting out evil spirits, and then jealousy steps in, but then God steps in and reminds them of who they are. And he said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's what he's telling the church now. You got ISO, you got ISIS, you got Islam, you got Muslims, you got this, you got terrorism. God says, go and speak the words of life to folks. He didn't say discriminate. He didn't say try and say you're better. Then he said, go speak. Just speak the word of life to them. Don't get into all the other stuff. Speak the word of life. Speak the word. They don't receive the word. You've done your job. Look at what this is. And when you look at the cross reference, you look at the cross text, it takes us to John 6. Let's go to John 6 really quick. So we find out what the words, we say, go speak the words of life. Then this is what he's talking about. Oh, a powerful text. Jesus has just fed 5,000 in John chapter 6. Then Jesus has the nerve to say, I'm the bread of life. I just gave him physical bread. But if you want to get technical, I'm the bread of life. And I say, wait a minute, what's going on with Jesus? Is he a cannibal? Because he's talking about eating of his flesh and they didn't get it. They didn't get it, and some things they didn't get till after he resurrected. Then they got it. That's why when the Spirit told them, the angel of the Lord said, go speak the words of life, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because this is what Jesus shared. Let's look at 6:58. Let's start at 57. No, let's start at 56. He that eateth my flesh and drink my blood dwell in me and I in him. See, that's why they thought he was a cannibal. Like, what is wrong with this dude? But he had just told him, I'm the bread of life. And he had just fed 5,000. And remember, there were some just following him just because he fed them. See, some people are following Jesus just to get stuff, not being connected to the Lord, not making him Lord of their life. I'm just with you until, as long as I can get some. But as soon as you stop giving, I'm out. So we got to make sure that we're connected to the Lord. Because if you connect it to the church, when the church lets you down, then you out. But when you connect it to the Lord, you're always there. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. They like, this dude has lost it. But look how he draws a connection. This is the bread which came down from heaven. God fed your forefathers from heaven as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He's talking about himself. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 6, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And this is, who can understand? This is a hard word. So, Jesus, we're supposed to sell out to you like that? That's a hard word. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured or grumbled at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Ooh. Jesus, he offends people. That's why you can't speak on your job, because people get offended. They get offended by that hard word. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That's offensive. The cross is offensive. Nobody wants to hear that stuff because I want to do my thing. I want to have the church of self. The new age is called the church of self because I'm spiritual. I don't get into that God stuff because that separates people. I just like to be spiritual. So I can do whatever I want to do and feel good about it, and you can't tell me nothing. It's a hard saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That if you eat of him, that you live forever. That if when you accept Christ into your heart, you infuse your heart with God's heart. And whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God actually takes everyone. He's very inclusive. Again, he takes us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. People say, that's a hard saying, man. You offended me. I can't get into you like, can't get into God like that. Well, that's, you made your choice. Everybody has a choice. That's what Joshua told him. It's Joshua 24. He said, choose this day. You can't say, well, I don't have a choice because I was born a certain way. My mama was like that. My daddy was like that. I'm like that. I don't have. You choose this day. You do have a choice. Don't lie to yourself. Don't let people lie to you. Say, I was born like this. I don't. You do have a choice. So you're telling me that you're so special. See, this is narcissistic. You're so special that God gave everybody free will except you. That goes back to that pride. I'm so proudful. I'm different. I'm so different that God gave everyone free will except me. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You do have a choice. Choose this day who you're going to serve. They were offended because Jesus is offensive, because you got to die to self so that your soul will live. Verse 62. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Look at that. He just slides that in. Dude, I'm coming from above. Before Abraham was, I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said, well, what about when you see me going back up to where I was before I came down here? Don't get this twisted. Before Abraham was, I am. Before the world was created, I was there. Before anything was, I was. All right, here's the word of life that they're talking about in verse 63. Make sure you highlight this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit of God that gives life. So if you don't have the spirit of the true and living God, you are dead. We talked about it around Halloween. You are a zombie. You are the living dead. We talked about going to the club with the zombies around Halloween. You were the best dressed zombie in the club. If you didn't have the spirit of God. And you know, the spirit of God is real because it'll let you know. And some of us know we've been in the club and God said, take your butt home. This is played out. This is no longer you. And so I remember one year when, I don't know if we had taken Jalen. Oh, the year before, 2004, before Katrina, Trace and I, we went to New Orleans because I had a speaking engagement out there. And so, you know, Bourbon Street, you hear about Bourbon Street, Bourbon Street. What is Bourbon Street? Right. So, okay, honey, let's go see what it's about. All right. Two steps on Bourbon Street, the Lord said, get your butt out of here. I got to go. What's that that joke with Eddie Murphy where he talks about the Amityville Horror? Well, oh, look at this house. It's so nice. It's like, get out. All right, baby, too bad we got here. We go. Too bad we can't stay. You're on that street for, if you got any kind of spirit of God in you, you walk on that street and you go, oh man, honey, let's go. I don't know if it was it's less than 5 minutes, like, nope, can't do it. It's the spirit that gives life. It's the spirit that says, you know what, you need to really slow down. You need to, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the spirit is saying to the churches. So it's the spirit that, look at verse 63, it's the spirit that gives life. Go and tell that message. He said, that's what the angel of the Lord told him. That's the message you go and tell the people. The spirit of God. Go back to the temple and tell them, that's why I took you out of prison. That's why I saved you. That's why I set you free. That's why I delivered you out of whatever we were delivered from. That you go and speak life to people. Not so you can look good, not prosperity, not all that kind of stuff. So you go and speak life to people. That's why I delivered them. That's why I set you free from the prison of all those other people trying to tell you who you are and what you should be doing. Not so you can look good and say, look at me and all that, but you can go and speak life. That's why God set us free. That's why God spared our life from that gang infested environment in L.A. because everybody didn't make it out. Saved us, set us free, and then said, go speak life. It's a purpose for you and I to be here. It's a purpose for us to get saved. It's a purpose for us to come in here and get refueled so we can go out and fulfill what God has called us to do. Verse 63 is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Don't get into yourself. Don't get into, well, I don't look right. Don't stop focusing on that. That's no profit. Go speak life through the spirit of God. The words, look what he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This word right here, it is spirit and it is life. Go speak the word. Stay away from opinions. Speak the word. It's what's spirit and it's life. But look at verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. There's nothing you can do about it. All Jesus tells us, go and speak the word. He didn't say try and play Holy Spirit. Don't try and force people to be saved. You plant, somebody waters, and God gives the increase. And it's just folks that's not going to believe. That's as simple as that. He can't do much about that. But our job is to go and speak life. So when we stand before God, there's no excuse. People will say, well, I didn't know. Yes, you did know. Somebody spoke life to you over and over again, but you refused. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Wow. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by of my Father. So this is your prayer now. God, show me if I'm one of the ones that were given to Christ. As you're praying for your grandkids and your kids and your parents, pray that that they were one of the ones that were given to Christ by the Father. But since we don't know who is and who isn't, we go out and share with everybody. Because you never know. By the grace of God, we are who we are. Some people look at your life and go, man, I can't believe it. Yeah, neither can I. So since you don't know, you go and share with everyone. Speak words of life. Don't try and play Holy Spirit. Well, they'll never be saved. They are just, they're a lost cause. You don't know what's going on, and you can't read their heart. You don't know. But he released them so they can go share these words of life. Look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They're like, hey, I can't handle it. They went and let the world chew them up, spit them out, and use them and abuse them. But it's a hard saying, following Christ. It's one of the toughest things that we would do is to deny ourselves and to live for Jesus. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? He's asking you today, will you, despite the tough things, the hard sayings, the tough things in your life, Jesus said, will you, going to stop following? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and we are sure. We believe and we're committed. Remember, the devils believe and tremble. But Peter's saying, we believe and we know. We believe and we trust. We believe and we're confident. We're not believing and trembling. We're believing and we're knowing that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Gosh, boy, Jesus didn't. He didn't hold back his tongue at all. He was straightforward. And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And in the midst of that, you still have to go out and speak life. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6. We'll read another verse and then we'll go ahead and have to continue this next week. Let's go back to 5 and 19. Acts 5 and 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, This is why they were released. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the bread of life, that it's the spirit that gives life. Go and tell the people all those things. And then look at the obedience in verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut. The doors are shut with all security and safety, and the keeper standing outside before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one of them and told them, saying, behold, the men with whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Family, don't forget your mission. That's what we should be doing. Despite all that goes on, in the midst of everything that's going on, you get and you stand and you preach and you share the words of life. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And that's not the stone getting drunk. All right. That's not stone getting high. They were going to pick up rocks. OK, anyway. All right. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And here it is. Here's our narrative again. What do we establish? This is what established us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you slew and hung on a tree. Whom hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, with whom God has given to them that obey him. Amen. That's the good news we need to be sharing. Amen. That's what establishes. If we're rooted and grounded in love, we're rooted, we're established in the foundation so we can share that message in love. Let us bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge once again to actually live this thing. Not to be hearers only, but to be doers, Lord, in the midst of it. What is our narrative? What are we talking about when we go out to the world? Not opinion, but the word. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He's the only one that died, rose again, and lived to tell about it. He is the bread of life. His spirit is what gives us eternal life. Apart from him, we can do nothing, and we are nothing. God, let that be our message. Despite the obstacles and situations and things we have to overcome to prevent that message from going out, let us remember what the message is. And if it offends people, it offends people. But we'd rather suffer shame for Christ's sake than for all the other foolishness we suffered shame for. So I'm praying right now, Lord. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I need to get saved today. I'm not sure. I don't want to play this game anymore. I just don't want to come to church. I actually want to get attached to the Lord. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. Say, Pastor, I've kind of just been out there. I'm not going to wait till January 1. I can start today. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. Say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I've just been passing by. Today, I want to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Love to be your pastor. Lord, how we thank you for the challenge. God, we can't do it alone. Apart from your spirit, we're nothing. But we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And all things are possible to them that believe. God, we believe, but help our unbelief. Those areas where we're not sure. Those areas we're not sold out. Lord, help us in those areas. So that we can actually live this thing and share this thing. Give us your wisdom to share. And if people are offended and it causes us to look shameful, God, for your sake, God, we're all in. We love you on today. We bless you on today, Lord. We thank you for today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed.